Good evening.
Evening.
Right now, you're the only one on.
Okay.
And we don't have anybody yet here physically, although I know some people are coming, so.
Okay. Well, I just edited the dates for Toulouse, and I looked over the blog for Thursday, and it looks okay.
Thank you. Were you on this morning or not? I didn't hear you.
Yes, I was on.
Okay. Sometimes I know you're there because I hear you, but other times not. So.
Okay.
You know, when I get the report of who's on, then I know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on. And Judy was on too, by the way. I called to check on her and she was so much better. So it was just a 20, you know, bug probably.
Right. Well, people are coming out of winter and into spring, so.
Well, at this time of the year, we've got the oak trees just throwing their pollen everywhere.
I know. In Atlanta, you can't chop down a tree. It's against the city regulations. So these trees have been around for X number of years, and if one gets an infestation or something and dies, mm-hmm. you have to plant a new one. So there's a lot of trees.
Right.
And the trees have pollen. There's no question about it.
Well, I know I keep a plastic cloth on our table on the patio during the winter. And the pollen looks yellow, but when you go to wipe it, it's black. It's like a black mole.
Yeah.
So it's...
Here, if you look out your window, you see the roofs of cars are yellow.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, covered like a blanket of yellow.
This is a hard time to make a class, though. On a Sunday afternoon, so that may be why.
It's strange because I was specifically asked by a few people to make a class at this time specifically, so that if they went out in the afternoon, they'd be back here in time. And these are the people who didn't come, while other people have come, you know, new people have come, so.
Well, May here, there's so many graduations and bridal showers and baby showers. In fact, even our Hebrew class, the month of May, we just had so many out. And I found that when I taught myself, May was hard to keep everybody together.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll change in June.
Right.
Because I've experienced that also. I think it has to do with the Omer period, though.
Probably, yes. I agree.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, anybody else on?
Yep.
So we've been waiting for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you waited.
So,
takes me time to get together. But I finally got here. Thank you for waiting.
I'm going to mute.
No problem. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chiminka, Tati, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Zadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, No Ra, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin, Barchem Taharem, Rachame Sitkacha, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Reish, Zaditav Gimel, Chasim Kadosh, Erov Tuvcha, Nael Adata, Tet Kufet, Tet Nunayan, the letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. Yachid Geye, Lamcha Penei, Zofre Kedushata, Yud Gimel Lamed, Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumo, Shin Kufav, Tzadiyudta. We brought the energy of creation into our space, so now we will need to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chamun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emeth, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseawon La'fesha, V'chata'a V'nakei. Please scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. And while I don't have a list of the Tzaddikim who left this day, because I'm having a physical class, one of the Tzaddikim who did leave this evening is Rabbi Sadia Gaon, who was a very famous Kabbalist, lived about the year between, in the year 1000 roughly. And he was the author of a treatise that changed the movement of the Jewish world towards a literal interpretation of the Torah promoted by the Karaite Jews of that time. At that time, they were about a third of the Jewish world. And his treatise was sufficient that it changed a lot of people's minds. Well thought out, well written, well expressed, using sources that were very clear. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. I'm now going to read a verse from the Zohar. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. This particular verse is in the section known as Bereshit Bet of the Sulam commentary. It's section 52, verse 236. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berechu Ishkin Tevi Pilu Urchimu Udpilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Amadonai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kodanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kodanei Amar Rabbi Shimon Gavna da oraita kaim bain tire batim kimadikti lishne bate Israel wikomer patsatima ilaa bechadit kalia yatir ilaa kogadol dikti kogadol velo yasa. Rabbi Shimon said, similarly, Torah, which is Zeranpin, is situated between two houses, between two nukvas. For Ima is called a house, as in for both houses of Israel. One is upper and sealed, the supernal Ima, Bina. The other is more revealed. The supernal sealed one is the great voice referred to in a great voice which was not heard again. Are there any questions about that verse?
No. Thank you.
No problem.
Is that somebody joining?
Yeah, they're on the conference call. Today's class is on Lashon Hara. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. When you go to the matrix in row 19, second row from the left, it says Lashon Hara landing page. When you open that up, please click on class 4, and that opens up to where we will start, which is day 11. Giving you a little bit of time.
Am I still connected? I don't think so. I think I got bumped. Hanoka, I was disconnected, so I'm reconnecting again. Hello?
Anybody there?
Bernice, I got disconnected, so I reconnected, and he's not on. So I was getting ready to send him an email.
Oh, okay.
We've got bad weather here. It's been raining a lot and thundering. It's stopped raining now, but I'm sure it's moved either further east or further west. I'm not sure. But I'm gonna put the phone down and email him and tell him that
okay.
We've got disconnected, but we're waiting.
All right. He may not know we're disconnected.
Right.
Not again. I don't think you should warm that up again. Can't keep warming up the food. Doesn't taste good after a while.
Well, I don't know if he's going to come back. We'll wait a little while longer, see.
Mm. I wonder if it's something happened on his end or what.
It's probably the weather.
Mm.
And it was just you and I on, so I'm not sure if he had gotten actual bodies that usually come, you know, on the Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard like a popping sound, you know, like maybe it's the line.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's been raining here all day and thundering and... In fact, when I was on at the morning class, I would have had to mute because the thunder was so loud.
Really?
I'm sure everybody could have heard it.
Mm. You're in Louisiana, right?
Right. It's starting to get close to June, and we have those afternoon thunder showers. You know, it gets hot, and then it rains. And
does it come in off the Gulf?
Probably.
Hmm. You get the same weather as Texas?
Pretty much, yes.
Hmm.
I don't text, so I feel like probably a text he would. I don't know how his phone works, but I don't know. But lost connection.
Yeah.
Bernice and I got disconnected. When we've reconnected, but you aren't on yet. So we'll give him 5 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it happened over there in the in his area. Everybody else still on the line?
He may not actually be wherever he usually does the classes from, because he made the comment about not having the Hulu law. So he may be in an area that, you know, you never know.
Yeah, right. And anything going on in Atlanta? Is there a big storm there by chance?
He didn't say anything about it. I know there's a lot of tornadoes going on in Texas, and there was flooding in Indiana. I saw that on the news. On the news this morning, there's been flooding in.
Wow.
In Illinois.
Hmm. Not one thing, it's another. Huh? I find it so hard to get in on all these classes. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Thursday is the Rosh Kodesh connection, so put that on your calendar. That's an important one.
Thursday, yeah.
Well, I suppose we were supposed to do the preliminary prayers. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and hang up. And I'm going to stay at the computer.
You're going to hang up?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll stay at the computer for a little while, just in case he sends a message. But so have a good day, you hear?
You too.
Hope to hear your voice sometime during the week. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
I realized I wasn't connected any longer. Is anybody still there?
I'm still here, but I think Hannah just left a couple, maybe a minute ago.
Okay.
You want to try to get her back or what?
Okay,
no.
I'm on. I'll try it again.
Yeah,
is that Hannah?
Yes, I'm
sorry
back.
If I disconnected. So I don't know where to pick up. I was in the middle of section 12.
You had just said we were starting 11.
Wait, that went. That's where I disconnected. Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not very long. If you don't want to repeat it, we can reread 11 ourselves if you want to keep going.
Okay, well, I'll reread 12 then.
Oh, you didn't? You read 12 too? Okay.
Yeah, I was starting 13, so let me reread. Let me reread starting at day 12. Two-facedness and revenge. Negative mitzvot 7, 8, and 9. One of the worst negative character traits is graphically called two-facedness. It means quite literally to act with two faces, outwardly smiling and inwardly hateful. And I am adding, a person on a spiritual path is required to unify these two faces and avoid any act of two-facedness. If one has hatred in their heart but is unable to express it, as described below, one is to remove that hatred rather than be two-faced. Otherwise, one would need to face the fact that they have much spiritual work to complete And it's always beneficial to realize we have much spiritual to complete. Unfortunately, this trait can be hard to avoid in real life, because we sometimes find ourselves feeling hatred towards someone, but unable to express it directly. For example, if you harbor hatred toward your boss, you probably have to restrain yourself from expressing that feeling to him. And as an unwritten comment, I'd like to express, hatred doesn't mean necessarily a strong emotion. It's a very strong word that is being translated from the Hebrew. But it's important to understand, maybe a year ago, your boss didn't give you a raise. And you're angry at him. You think you deserved it. You still think you deserve it. And he hasn't recognized that yet. So when you're dealing with him, you're going to be smiling. But in your heart, you're really upset with him. And the word is being used as hatred. So always keep that kind of thing in mind when you hear the word hatred, especially in this sefer. Continuing to read. The Torah, however, makes no allowance for two-facedness. It conveys to us that acting friendly in someone's presence while feeling hatred in one's heart can lead to disasters in human relations. The Torah therefore states, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. And this is which is transgressed whenever we harbor inner hatred toward our fellow. The Chofetz Chaim teaches us that this prohibition applies in a very direct way to the laws of Lashon Hara. If we speak Lashon Hara about someone, we transgress the law. Do not go as a peddler of gossip. If we act friendly to that person in a two-faced fashion, we incur the additional sin of harboring hatred in our hearts. There are times, however, when one may have serious problems with his boss or his teacher and is not in a position to discuss this with them, yet needs to discuss the problem with someone. For this case, the Chofetz Chaim teaches us about the laws of Tohelet, speaking negatively for a constructive purpose.
What did you say that word? Laws of what?
The laws of Tohelet.
How do you spell that?
In English, it's T-O-E-L-E-S or E-T in the Sephardic pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
When the proper conditions are met, which we will learn about in day 77 or 78, it is permissible for someone to unburden himself to relieve his emotional pain. When this is done within Torah guidelines, it often results in a healthy solution rather than the backbiting and bitterness that is generated by two-facedness. As an unwritten comment, what was just described is called venting in modern parlance. And yet, it's not venting the way we do it. Because when we learn about Tohelet and the seven steps or the seven items that need to be in place before we vent, it becomes a very significant positive thing, as we will learn when we study those laws of Tohelet. Continuing to read. The Chofetz Chaim adds that we only worsen the transgression if after speaking Lashon Hara, we add, but do not tell him you heard it from me. this sort of comment makes the matter more secretive and goes to the heart of the sin of harboring hatred towards a fellow. There are two other Torah prohibitions relevant to the laws of Lashon Hara, are those against bearing a grudge and seeking revenge. The Chofetz Chaim states that if we hate a person because he refused to do a favor for us, and later we publicize a wrong which he committed, we have violated these prohibitions, as well as peddled gossip. The above example is, of course, just one possible instance of revenge in the form of Lashon Hara. Obviously, this rule applies to any situation in which revenge might be the motive for discussing another person's wrongdoing. As an unwritten comment, anytime we think we're aware that someone has hurt us, and maybe we didn't say anything at the time, maybe we didn't even notice it, but a few days later, we thought back and we say that I really didn't get the respect that I deserve, or I didn't get the raise as the example I used earlier. All of these things enter into our actions in the next time, and the next time after that. Unless we are clear and we work on removing this feeling of deservedness, I deserve a raise, or this person hurt me and I deserve my honor and he didn't give me the honor I expected. These things, unless we consciously work to remove them, we are holding a grudge. And if we then make a statement about the other person saying they did something wrong, we are acting upon that grudge, and it is called revenge. Continuing to read. As mentioned earlier, Lashon Hara is rarely comprised of objective statements. When we hear others speaking Lashon Hara, we should be aware that such talk is often fueled by anger and a desire for revenge. The speaker feels I was wrong, and he is angry to the point that he cannot detect his own lack of objectivity. When hearing Lashon Hara, it would be a helpful practice to always consider that we are probably not hearing a responsible, objective report of someone's behavior. Rather, we are hearing the inner rantings of someone's anger spilling out into words. How does that change your... This is an unwritten comment. How does that paragraph change your perceptions of when you're sitting around a dinner table or out for coffee with your friends? How does that change the way you feel about what you're hearing when they describe someone else and someone else's actions? If you always assume that even though it is truthful, because all Lashon Hara is truthful, even though it's truthful, it's not to be accepted because it's really someone else's anger or upset or hatred that is coming out in words. Mm-hmm. Or revenge. Correct. That's the end of section 12. Does anyone have any questions?
Like sometimes you can have those feelings even with your own mate from time to time. And they
yes,
with you, I'm sure.
Absolutely. That is very true. And later on in our discussions in our chapters here, we will discuss how to deal with communication between mates, because it can be called with Lashon Hara. But essentially, we're getting in this introduction all of the basic concepts of how we think we're speaking normally, and it's everyday conversation, but in truth, it's Lashon Hara. And it's asking us to start to think about this in that way. And I will remind you that I had said, when you first start hearing these regulations and these recommendations, you start thinking like there's nothing I can say to anybody. But it's not true. The laws of Lashon Hara are created for human beings. The issue is the human beings don't think enough of those laws to practice them. And that's part of what the raising of the consciousness that by studying this book will take place. Day 13, do not follow the crowd. And this is covering negative mitzvot 10 and 11. The Torah tells us that a minimum of two witnesses is needed for testimony in the Bet Din, the rabbinical courts. If only one person were to testify against someone in the Bet Din would not be allowed to accept his testimony. In that case, the testimony would serve no constructive purpose and would be considered Lashon Hara. In addition, the witness would transgress the prohibition of a single witness shall not stand up against any man for any wrongdoing. The Chofetz Chaim lists yet another prohibition, which we can explain as follows. When his life on this world ends, the average person will come before the heavenly court and justify all the Lashon Hara he spoke with one simple claim. He was a victim of circumstances. He had no choice. He will say that he had no real interest in Lashon Hara, but all around him people were speaking it, so he really had no choice. In effect, he will say that society made him do it. The Chofetz Chaim warns us, while we still can do something about it, that there is no defense. In fact, this claim is actually a further indictment, because places that are conducive to speaking Lashon Hara are off limits to a God-fearing human. As the Torah states, do not associate with the majority for evil. The Chofetz Chaim teaches us a valuable lesson here, which applies to all aspects of life. People tend to gravitate to places which define their own station in life. They choose where they live, where they pray, who their friends are, and what is important to them. Occasionally, a person is truly a victim of circumstance, but for the most part, the place he makes for himself in this world bears his own unique signature. The Chofetz Chaim advises us, make it a good place. Any questions or comments or thoughts? Day 14, causing strife or hurt. These is related to negative mitzvot 12 and 13. A frequent result of speaking Lashon Hara, and especially rechlut, which is gossip, something that is still truthful, but is worse than Lashon Hara. Is the creation of arguments, mechlopet, disputes or controversy. The president of the school is unhappy with the executive director's efforts in an unsuccessful school function. He conveys his feelings to a board member who relates the conversation to the executive director. The executive director responds furiously. He said that the event was a failure because of me. He is the one who never attended any meetings planning the event. The board member wastes no time in reporting this response to the president. The president sends the volleyball of blame over the net by saying, "I never came to the meetings because he never called me to confirm them." The executive director then sends the ball back by saying that if the school would hire a secretary for him, then there would finally be someone who had the time to confirm appointments and meetings. Before anyone realizes what is happening, the disagreement has snowballed into a full-scale mechlochet, a full-scale argument, all because of one small sentence that should not have been repeated, and certainly not to the subject of the comment. The Chofetz Chaim teaches that when someone speaks Lashon Hara, or reklut, and it generates a machloket, he is transgressing two negative mitzvot instead of one. In addition to the sin of Lashon Hara, he has transgressed the mitzvah, "Do not be like Korach and his assembly," in which the Torah warns us to reject the ways of Korach, who stirred up a terrible rebellion against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chofetz Chaim introduces us to another type of forbidden speech, which many people are unaware is explicitly forbidden by the Torah. It is called Ona'at Devarim, hurting people with words, verbal abuse. Only recently in social work and psychology has society come to recognize a fact which the Jewish people have known since the Torah was given. Words can hurt, and they can hurt a lot, sometimes even more than the physical abuse. People tend to base their own self-image on the way they believe they are perceived by others. When you tell someone repeatedly that he is incompetent, you are actually reaching into his soul and imprinting the word incompetent on his self-image. That destructive process, the Torah tells us, is as prohibited as sitting down to a lavish meal of lobster and shrimp. In other words, non-kosher food. I am adding, the above paragraph needs to be taken to heart in many areas of our life. This is a source of low feminine self-image. It is the source of feelings of inferiority and many other situations, including what has come to become prominent as a cause of teenage suicide, God forbid. Ona'at Devarim comes in various forms. The Chofetz Chaim discusses the case of a person who reminds someone of his unpleasant past. It is not that there are any particular enemies of a person's history that one may not mention. Any comment which may cause embarrassment or hurt someone's feelings, it could be a past family problem. A demeaning job, a less than respectable lifestyle. This all is considered one ona'at devarim and is prohibited by the verse, "A man shall not cause hurt to his fellow." If the speaker said these hurtful words to others in the subject's presence, then he has also transgressed the mitzvah against Lashon Hara. After all, what could be more damaging to a person's self-image than to have his faults or weaknesses revealed to those who know him? The end of day 14. Are there any questions? Day 15. Sin upon sin. This is covering negative mitzvot 14 and 15. The Chofetz Chaim now discusses a more severe level of ona'at devarim, verbal abuse. If one relates something negative to others while the subject is present, causing that person not only hurt, but also humiliation, then he has transgressed the prohibition, do not bear a sin because of him, which is the Torah prohibition against embarrassing someone. With this mitzvah, the Torah teaches that even rebuking someone should be done respectfully, so as not to cause the person embarrassment. If one embarrasses a person publicly, he has to contend with the words of our sages. One who shames his friend in public does not have a portion in the world that is coming. The Chofetz Chaim leads us through a Lashon Hara conversation, keeping count of all the mitzvot each participant or transgresses. Reuven tells Shimon, Levi criticized you. Reuven has now transgressed his first negative mitzvah. Do not go as a peddler of gossip among your people, as well as several other related sins. Shimon, who listened to Reuven and believes his report that Levi was said something critical about him, has transgressed the mitzvah, do not accept a false report, which is the prohibition against accepting Lashon Hara. When Shimon now meets Levi, the person who allegedly criticized him, he begins to harangue and humiliate him. Shimon has now transgressed, a man shall not cause hurt to his fellow, which pertains to verbal abuse. Levi is shocked at the abuse he is receiving and demands an explanation. Shimon responds angrily, why did you say those terrible things about me to Reuven? Did you think I wasn't going to find out? Shimon has now committed a third transgression, that of relating gossip, by repeating what Levi allegedly said to Reuven. Shimon has set Levi against Reuven. Levi has a defense. That's not what happened. Now Shimon is furious at Reuven. When Shimon meets Reuven, he says, how could you lead me to attack Levi when he said he never said those words? And Reuven wants to prove himself correct, so he says to Shimon, oh, so he denies the whole thing. Come, and I'll repeat what he said in his presence. Shimon and Reuben find Levi. Shimon says to Reuben, tell me again what Levi said about me. And Reuben proceeds to recount the story once again, transgressing the mitzvah against peddling gossip. This applies to every instance of rechlut, which is gossip, even if the person knows the information. In addition, by embarrassing Levi, he has violated the commandment against embarrassing people. Levi responds by saying, it is true. I did say something about you, Shimon, but I did not say it the way Reuben reported it. I did not use that tone, and he totally distorted my points. And I am adding, it is important to emphasize that gossip rechelut is important to not say, even if the listeners know the information, it still violates a negative mitzvah. Shimon says to Levi, do you really think I'm going to believe you now that Reuben had the courage to repeat your words in front of you? These words become Shimon's fourth sin. Do not accept a false report. When we tally up the sins, we see that Reuben has transgressed three negative Torah mitzvot, while Shimon has violated four. And I am adding, it is important to realize that if you hear a story from your friend, you are not to believe it without your personal effort to verify its veracity. The Chofetz Chaim asks, how could we have ended this story differently? Even after much of the damage was done, there was still much that could have been salvaged. When Levi defended himself and said, yes, I did say something, but I did not say it the way Reuben reported it, Reuben could have said, oh, I see what you mean. I must have misunderstood you. This would have concluded the story on a peaceful note, averting the last few transgressions. And I am adding, it is important to note that the Chofetz Chaim does not say that Reuben's suggested statement is truthful. The Torah says it is okay to lie to bring peace in a marriage. No sage says it is okay to lie to bring peace between people. So do not make that mistake to lie, except to help within someone's marriage, and then expect some chaos in your own life. If we examine our own lives, we find that this scenario, in one form or another, is extremely common. The Chofetz Chaim advises us to be quick to acknowledge that we misunderstood someone's alleged harsh words about another. In this way, we will save ourselves and our acquaintances from many disputes and sins. That's the end of day 15, the end of the class. Does anyone have any questions?
Well, no, I understood it,
though. Good. Doris said she understood the class with the last section. Because the examples given throughout, there are many examples given throughout. You'll find they're very clear and simple to easy to understand. But you have to read it. You can't just say, here's an example, and then not explain it. So that's why we're doing it this way. Are there other questions on the conference call?
What happens when you're telling a funny story about somebody or about yourself and somebody? Can that be interpreted incorrectly or what?
Of course it can be. Do you remember that you're telling the funny story about it, even if you're denigrating yourself as part of the story? Are you saying something that makes somebody look bad, look lower, and you're doing it because something happened to you a year ago with that person, and you're doing it out of a grudge or out of revenge? So, and even if you're not doing it out of a grudge or out of revenge, you're telling a story that can embarrass the person because it makes him look bad, even if you're making yourself look bad at the same time. And yes, it's a funny story. So maybe you're saying it to laugh. Laugh at yourself, laugh at the world, at circumstances. But the question is, and we don't yet know the rules. Let me finish. We have to wait until we understand the laws of Tochelet to understand when can we relate a funny story. Because if the seven laws of Tohelet are met, that we're doing it for a constructive purpose, we can go ahead and do so. But we first have to learn those laws, and that's not for a few more classes.
Okay, what happens when comedians roast each other? Is that taken as a sense of humor, or is that taken as an embarrassment to somebody?
There's an issue of someone who is a public person, someone who is known far and wide. You can say things about that person that you cannot say about someone else because they are public. But even there, you need to be careful in what you say. But there's a little bit more leniency in with respect to that. So if one comedian is roasting another person, we'll discuss it again later on in the book. But basically, you can enjoy the humor, but you don't believe the stories. They may be made up.
Well, my husband had a birthday party a couple weeks ago, and I was chosen to. They had a program set up, and I was chosen to stand up and do a short type of humorous thing about the two of us. And I related a few stories, and we always kind of thought they were funny, and we've chuckled over them, but I don't know whether in delivering them, whether upstairs would agree that they were funny stories or would chuckle over them or would feel something different. So I wonder about...
I don't mean to criticize you, and I don't mean to publicly embarrass you. So if you want to discuss it with me privately, I'll be happy to express myself on that.
Okay.
And by the same token, enough said for right now.
Okay.
But the next time we speak, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Are there any questions? Any other questions? So you all have a good week, Shavua Tov. And our next class will be at 8:30 to count the Omer. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Bye, Denise.
Bye, sweetheart.